This is Leo Baybue for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio, and it is middle of April, the Ides of April, some would say, maybe only me, but I have the opportunity to have in the studio with me right now Mick Rice, naturalist, park naturalist, Gooseberry Falls State Park. We do this Wandering Nature News now on a monthly basis, and we're happy to be back. Gray skies, cool day, warm weather on the wing, but lots of animals around.
It's really woken up. Yeah, as you may notice, it was spitting earlier today, this misting kind of snow. We're really hovering between this pre-summer, it's still kind of early spring. I don't know. It's
a very pre-summer.
It's the transition season, And so, yeah, things are waking up and coming out of dormancy. Birds are making their way back, whether it's raptors or rafters, as you called it earlier. The ducks, you know, the waterfowl, the loons, the turkey vultures.
Yeah, I was just very intrigued for you to remind me or to tell me, maybe this is the first time I've heard it, that we can count on there being clusters of loons rafting out on our larger open lake water. Well, that would be the Great Lake, Superior.
Yeah. So for all of you OG listeners, you may have remembered that me and my intern a few summers ago were learning a lot about loons, taking that deep dive, as we said, following some talks by a loon biologist and author. And yeah, he talked about these loon rafts. And as groups of loons, common loons, come from, example, the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of Minnesota loons come from the Gulf of Mexico. They go from one big body of water to another big body of water. They're not territorial at this time. So they're accommodating their friends. They're hunting together. So right now they're in these big groups finding resources here to get their body back, you know, from the trip. And as water starts to open up and territories start to open up, the loons, probably the old ones, the mature ones will start leaving first to go set up their breeding territory. And, you know, throughout the next few weeks, the other birds will start following suit. I don't know if a lot of internal lakes are open, if they totally froze over, how long these loons may congregate. Say if we have a really late ice over, sometimes ice doesn't open till mid-May, right? If we had a really crazy freeze, some birds will have to stay in the big lake until then. Probably not the case this year.
Yeah, and the inland lakes can be in varying conditions, mm-hmm. depending upon how big and exposed they are and how deep, of course. One of the things that intrigues me is we talked a fair amount about how the juveniles or the young of the year might leave in the fall later than their adults. But by the time they've overwintered a full first winter, are they then part of the flock? Are they coming back at the same time?
So neither. Most of them, what he said, actually will stay down in the Gulf of Mexico for a few years.
Oh, so they're not even coming back to say hello to the lake yet.
No, they're not in. They haven't learned the ropes yet enough to come and be here for the summer. Where is a loon, theoretical question, where is a loon going to go in the summer if it's too young to find a mate? They don't have any place to live. All the other loons are going to kick them out. So they're not tough enough yet. They have to spend a few winters, summers with sharkies and seals and learning how to be a loon. Then they'll come up here and then they'll start finding a place.
Well, just out of curiosity, does a loon have a little bit longer lifespan than some large birds?
Yeah, loons can live, from what I remember, into their 20s, likely.
Oh, wow.
And this is, they are considered long-lived birds, slow reproducers.
Yeah.
We know they only have 2 eggs per year. They take longer to reach sexual maturity, anywhere from 4 to 7, depending on male to female. So all those characteristics, kind of like bald eagles, slow repro, long life. When we get a cohort that completely disappears, like we did with the Deep Horizons oil spill, those types of species can have those population gaps because they take so long to reproduce and big cohorts are vulnerable that way and causes some challenges.
Wow, that'll just make me appreciate the loons that we have at our favorite inland lake all the more, that some of them have been working at it, coming back. Curious how old they might be when they finally come back to that inland lake.
So I think males can start, do they wait longer? I don't know. I think maybe males have to wait till they're 6 or 7 to really have a chance, but maybe they'll start coming back earlier and finding a less successful mate or just like a lower quality female. They'll go off on a little slew somewhere, maybe not have babies, but hey, they survived, right?
Right.
They didn't get picked off. Another thing I was going to mention is maybe people don't realize that these are loons that are rafting, right? You mentioned, oh, well, that's maybe there are loons out there and people don't realize. They were far out. I identified them through their behavior, right? The gulping, well, they were gulping fish after they were doing kind of what I call a seal dive. I noticed the white collar in the sun in the binoculars. I did hear when they took off, they did that spooky, eerie call.
Yes.
But they're not doing those territorial calls at night that usually let people know that they're
the
around.
The drama isn't
the drama.
There at night.
Okay. Yeah, those hormones are not calling for drama yet. We're not quite there.
the play will go on,
yes.
But a little later in the spring, summer. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Loons, something I didn't think we'd even be talking about. Very good. Thank you, Mick.
Mm-hmm.
I have a list, an inventory of some recently spotted creatures, some of which you saw, some of which a colleague of yours saw, and we have a wolf and a bobcat, both up the shore. And then we have a whole listing of everything from turkey vultures to kingfishers and flickers and ducks.
Sparrows.
Robins, of course, are back and probably in many people's yards. And the small mammals do now include the chipmunks out chipping again. We had one that sat on our step kind of stunned because it was a freezing rain day. And I thought, this chipmunk came out the day before, it was nice, and the next day dawned and the chipmunk said, can I have a redo? Can I just start over again, maybe go back? But they are hibernators, aren't they? Or are they also resting?
They also, I believe, go into those states of torpor, which means they can kind of go into that deep sleep.
Yeah.
With less preparation. Kind of that more in and out kind
okay.
of. Yep.
Well, I saw one that thought that he made a bad call on which day to get out. So there is that about the weather in April, you know.
Definitely.
And, yes.
It changes a lot.
But with people out there hiking now, organized hikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Birding hikes coming up. We'll get to that. But were there any of the birds in particular, Mick, that you wanted to point out to people that are back, say, you know, from long migrations that most of us mm-hmm. might not know are back?
Well, I mean, the northern flicker, you know, is kind of an anomaly for a migrating woodpecker. So those birds, if you're familiar with the northern flicker, they have that white patch on their butt, and they hang out under pine trees on the ground, the forest floor a lot, you know, picking up things. And so those things are starting to wake up, and they're coming here for, you know, invertebrates and things that they're finding.
Yeah, because it is a question if, you know, robins are always associated with things like earthworms,
mm-hmm.
and people in my neighborhood said, so what's really the earthworm activity right now in the top layer of soil when we still have a frozen layer in the soil?
It's unthought enough that they must be finding food. Same with the woodcock that I saw, right? They wouldn't be able to be back here if they weren't able to find things in maybe the first inch or something, or in the leaf layer.
What it just does tell me that we humans may not be the most observant of species because our lives aren't depending upon what's in that top layer of soil, or so we think.
No, love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, we've got some pretty impressive big birds of the sky, the swans, and now sandhill cranes reported people both hearing and some seeing them locally. And so a lot is happening. I know some folks that are going out to one of the great wetland bird reserves, Crex Meadows.
Mm.
I don't know if you know much about Crex Meadows in Wisconsin, I believe. We also have our Sac Zim Bog, which is to the west of us here. These are places that are probably getting real active.
Yeah, and I know by the next time we'll talk, we'll probably have some other of our big bird returners that I've been waiting for. Herons, pelicans. Haven't heard of those coming back
yet. I have
yet.
Heard one person say they had overhead pelicans.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, we're right there. And then, of course, the warblers will start trickling in May. And then a lot more life in the water and underground. You know, we don't really have the amphibians or anything out yet. But we're right around the corner.
Indeed. Was it you that saw the bobcat at the park?
No, I did not. A visitor
reported
seeing it on one of our trails.
And the wolf, did you see that just from the car?
That wasn't me again. That was a coworker by Crow Creek.
Okay.
Yeah, none of those mammals were my sightings. Although I did see the two river otters. They were grooming each other, Leo. This was on Friday on one of my guided hikes along the Gooseberry River. And we get halfway down where I've been talking about this beaver activity, right?
Yeah.
The otters, well, I've known they love beaver habitat, but now I'm getting to see it firsthand. They are literally living where the beaver made a mound and a floodplain area, cut down all the trees. The river otters were doing their cute little spring romance stuff and grooming each other. And it was something to see.
So you were talking about particularly a site where beavers had been, weren't active right now, but what they left behind was actually just what the otters were happy to see.
Absolutely. There's even now brush, you know, in the river that the otters, I saw them sitting in the brush in the water,
okay,
fishing and
that
staying
perch
just
in
perfectly.
The middle of the river for fishing is quite handy. Thank you, beavers.
Yeah, and obvious, yeah. So even the ducks were hanging around there. Clearly a lot of food. Really neat.
Wow. Should we talk about hikes now or other activities?
What did you know that Gooseberry Falls State Park was nominated by USA Today Reader's Choice for being the top 10 state parks in the U.S.?
The U.S. That's a pretty big set of turfs.
So there's now this voting. Oh, how do you get to it? I don't know. The DNR is promoting this campaign to get votes so that Gooseberry can be voted the number one state park in the nation.
But you can't quite give me the link at this moment.
I know. Isn't that terrible promo?
We'll just set people on that mission. A lot of people
Google
are really
it.
Good at click finding. I hope you find it.
Yeah. You can vote once a day. So vote for your local state park.
Darn right. Okay. Unabashed promotion here on this non-commercial radio station.
Yeah, we got
to... No, we don't have to put the kibosh on that. We're going to stand up for the North Shore. Mick, what else do we have? We have several opportunities for people to do things indoor and outdoor, naturalist-wise.
Yeah, I mean, it is... Leo knows it's my job to promote stuff that's going on in the park, so... These upcoming programs are some more of my what we call staples, but I have a program coming up at the Two Harbors Library, finish up kind of my outreach season. That's this Friday, April 18th. And that's at 1:30.
Okay.
It's my program about owls, and we're going to be dissecting some owl pellets that I ordered online.
Wow. So if you're
really
listening in on
it.
Saturday, you missed a super cool expedition with owls.
I think you have my paper about when my next hike is.
Oh, I sure do.
Housekeeping here. Yeah, then at the park, Friday, April 25th, that's coming up, give you at least a week's head's notice. Friday, April 25th at 1 p.m., I'm going to do a spring hike. Essentially a phenology hike. We're going to be talking about some of the things that you just heard me talking about on the radio. What's nature up to? I'll be picking a route that day that reflects the most activity. The last hike when I did this, we saw river otters. We saw lots of birds, kingfishers, pileated woodpeckers, bald eagles. So I like to leave it open so I can pick the best spot depending on the weather. Saturday, April 26th is free park day across the whole state of Minnesota. So if you're listening and you're by another state park, free entry. At Gooseberry Falls at the Visitor Center on the 26th, I'll be having my Community Creations craft open house where you can come bring your friends or family. If you're at the park, come sit down in the theater and craft a bit. Introduce yourself. Love to see you.
So this is weatherproof. You're not trying an outdoor
That is
creations.
Correct. Yeah, sometimes it gets windy even though it's nice out in the spring. You know, it's kind of a nice place to come warm up your ears or your hands.
The wind has been rattling my wood piles the
and
last few days.
Damp.
Yeah.
It's really damp.
Penetrating damp.
Yeah.
And should we mention again that you have, I believe, a first Wednesday of the month hike?
So yeah, on May 7th, I will have my spring birding hike at 8:30 in the morning. We'll meet right outside the Visitor Center. And then my last Community Creations at the library will be April 22nd at 4:30. And when I say my last, I don't mean last. I
mean
last.
I was worried that for all time.
No, that's the drama, Leo. I brought the drama just for this spring.
Okay, so give us better context.
Sorry.
Just for the spring.
Yeah.
The last of the spring creations.
before Mick moves back full time to the park, the Gooseberry Park Zoo.
Where the human activity level will pick up to such a degree that you're hard to keep your head on your shoulders, I bet, some days. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm put to good use there, you know, so I tend to have to stay there.
There are a few assignments that you're fulfilling. I get that. Well, that's all I have, but is there anything else that is looming a little bit further out in the future, Mick, that you would want to bring up?
Not currently.
Not currently,
no.
But something will come up.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll hear it first.
You will, right on the air.
On?
KTWH, Wandering Nature News.
Oh, my gosh. We will see each other and all of you on the radio, even if that's not physically possible. It's going to happen right here on KTWH. Thanks, Mick Rice, naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, joining us again. We hope to see you again in May and find out how all that human park activity is picking up.
We'll touch base then, Leo. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Take care. Michaela Rice is the park naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and this is Leo for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.